Welcome to the Catch Up Podcast, where Christian friends come together to catch up and explore God-centered conversations. Our goal is to inspire, share stories, and deepen our faith in light of the gospel. Without further ado, let's journey together in this week's episode of the Catch Up Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Catch Up Podcast. I am joined today by two of my co-hosts today, Mr. Mark Citavian. And we have a guest today, Mr. Joshy.
Hey.
This is your third time?
Second time.
Okay.
Second time.
We'll say hi to the white wife and the family back home, right?
Back home. Back home 10 minutes from here. I'll be sure to let her know.
Okay.
So sorry, how you been?
Yeah.
Well, I've been great. But we talked about this a while back of me starting a new job, and that's been going really good. I'm an adult probation officer, so it's been really a lot to take in training, but it's been great. I think this is where I need to be, and this is where I'm going to grow and retire, hopefully. So things are going great.
Heck yeah, dude.
Oh, dude, that's crazy.
So you're in the good side of this job.
Yes, I am. I love it.
That's why you've been dressing so nice. You're like, I'm staying here.
Yes, yep, exactly.
Yes, sir.
What about you, Joshy? How's your week so far?
Dude, it's hectic. I mean, I know I was talking with y'all a little bit before we started recording, but a lot of people that I need to do their jobs are not doing their jobs. It's causing my job problems. That will not be named. Yeah, productive. But you know what? It was my wife's birthday yesterday. So that was a dang good time. Man, I love celebrating her.
Where did y'all go?
We actually didn't go anywhere. We are tonight and tomorrow night. Because yesterday she had a bunch of homework to get done. She's an engineering student still. But yeah, man, so I was sneaking around throughout the week getting her presents and like hiding them throughout the house and stuff, and got up early yesterday to kind of arrange everything before she got up, because I had to go to work before she woke up. Mm-hmm. But so I was being sneaky.
Were you one of those like you leave like clues to like
think what Josh does is it's like a spec op. He's like ziplining in the living room, just like
you
placing
know,
it.
You know what? I do what I'll coin as optimistic gaslighting. So I had everything completely ready 2 days ago. Except for like flowers, which I got yesterday morning because I wanted them to be like fresh and arranged. Yeah. I had all her regular gifts set up and hidden throughout the house by the end of the day Wednesday, because her birthday was Thursday. So Wednesday night, though, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to her and I go, you know, I never asked, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want? I didn't ask you. Like, you know, we've been so busy. What do you want to do and all this stuff? Meanwhile, they were like gifts hidden in the room with us and stuff. And she was like, is this a ploy? I'm like, no, I'm sorry. Like, I'm just been off of it. And then the next morning, I'm like, it was a ploy.
Is that considered lying, Joshy? Why are you lying to your wife?
I never explicitly told her that I didn't get gifts. Okay. I just asked her what she wanted and then was like, oh, yeah, you know, I hadn't really thought. Okay, you know, I guess I did lie, actually.
As I'm
explaining this, yeah, that's what I did.
But it's for a good cause.
I don't know.
You already knew what you were doing prior to the lie.
Yeah.
Optimistic gaslighting.
Thank you for the new term. I want to start using that. I really appreciate it.
It's like gaslighting. It's optimistic.
Optimistic. Don't come for me.
For married people
only.
Yeah. The first optimistic gaslighting I did for my wife was probably the proposal. I had to let her think that I wasn't going to be able to propose for like another year and a half, and that made her really sad because it was like a whole external factors. But meanwhile, everything was already in the works. But she still thought like, I'm not gonna be able to propose for a while because of external factors. Like, meanwhile, like I had the ring in my house.
Better than like pretending like, yeah, I'm not actually gonna go, you know, I'm not gonna get married. You know, like there's some guys that are like just to kind of like, to, you know, take them away from like the idea, like, yeah, we're getting married. Oh, I'm going to propose. Like they're just saying, yeah, I'm not fit for marriage or I'm not going to get married.
Yeah.
So
like that's
it's better than that. So what you did was better.
Yeah. No, the intentions were still clear. It was just the timeline that I was like, cause you know, like, what are you going to do, man? Be like,
that's what I was going to say.
Like, oh, actually it may be sooner than you think. Like, I'm not going to give that away.
And if you want it to be a spectacular proposal, you're going to have to do some type of white lie or like, not in a way like you want to lie to the person, but it's like you want to make it as special as it can be. So you got to kind of twist some things up, you know, a little twist and twist and you're good.
Si, you know, your proposal was phenomenal.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
It was beautiful. Awesome. Thank you. Had me crying, looking at an Instagram post.
We was all crying together. It's okay. We was all crying together.
Yep.
Their pictures and like on the screen. I'm like,
hey, I had
so picturesque, dude, with the little sign and everything.
Mary, with the lights. Thank you. Beautiful, dude.
Thank you, man.
Phenomenal. Okay, so Joe, do you want to?
Yeah, we're kind of.
I was still catching up, or do you want to like, transition?
Well, I want to hear, what's going on with you? What's going on with you, man? Busy? Okay.
Working.
I feel that. I was going to say, the only thing I wanted to say was just like, I don't know about y'all, I feel like the first time we can sit down and just like talk for a minute before things get crazy again. It's like.
No, it's like the first time the past 2 weeks that I haven't been busy.
You should talk about real quick the UFO thing that you saw. Okay, so. it was crazy, man. I saw the whole thing.
I ran away. But we saw a UFO Monday night. Well, I thought it was a UFO. I'm thinking it's a UFO.
Yeah.
You says it was a SpaceX rocket, but I would say it's a
liars.
UFO.
SpaceX.
It disappeared out of nowhere. So I was like, there's no way it's a rocket.
What, like,
it
was.
Like, oh, sorry.
No, I was gonna ask, like, what's the circumstance? Like, what was the visual there?
So, like, it was, or do you want to describe? So it was like orange light, right? And like, what's weird? So it's moving like left, and so what's happening during that time is like there's like the smoke ring or something that opens up from it. Now, here's the weirder part: we were pretty sure it wasn't something SpaceX because. From Mark's description, it was like in the atmosphere. Like he said, he's seen planes fly higher than where it was.
Yeah.
What? And so here's what's weirder. So it's moving, right? And then all of a sudden, and there was a tree reference point where you could see the like the tree was standing still and it was going in like constant motion. Mm-hmm. And it zigs real quick and then goes back to like whatever like speed it was at.
The speed and changed within a second and went like from like, it was insane.
It was weird.
At first, I was like, it's a rocket. There's no way that's a UFO. Yep. And I was watching the video, and I saw, like, the movement of the UFO. Ooh. And I'm like, holy crap. If that's a rocket, there's no way that a normal rocket will, like, change its speed midair, slow down, and then, boom, go fast.
Glitch in the Matrix.
It
might have been.
This is why you were talking about aliens at youth on Wednesday.
Yes.
No, I heard this get referenced, and I was just like,
No, so our youth pastor was talking about election, and then like he was like he referenced me as like that I believe in aliens, and I'm like, no, I don't. I'm just saying
you just believe in you believe in alien technology,
not in aliens
themselves.
Because I personally believe that there are human beings in other planets. They're not aliens.
Whoa.
That was just a ball drop.
That's another conversation.
We're going to rabbit hole. Oh my gosh.
Save it for. We got to have a whiteboard for these things.
Mark is Mormon confirmed.
Actually, I'm kind of debating. I was kidding.
Anyways, Joe.
Okay, so besides all the craziness of the week and aliens, UFOs, all the crazy life, so today we're talking about community. And so I'm really excited to talk about with Josh. And I've said this before, I bragged on him a lot that like this, you want to talk about community, inviting people over, getting people to congregate. And also like there's people like Josh, I know where it's like, you know, they're real and getting community together in the sense of the community that is together. The people, they're not all the same. Like they're, it's different people mixed in of maybe even different, slight different beliefs and denomination or whatever.
Yeah.
But, and like people you wouldn't otherwise see congregated anywhere else, but the only reason that we're able to do that is because love of God and Jesus Christ, right? I mean, like that we're able to congregate together, love for Him. Josh, man, one thing I'm curious, so like how could you, would you say like, could you say like an instance where you've seen like community affect like your own testimony, like your relationship with God?
Oh, bro, for sure. I mean, just starting at like, you know, the original, basis like of faith itself, like, you know, of existing in Christian community. Christianity is naturally a communal thing.
Yeah.
There are individual elements, so far as, you know, like profession of faith, baptism, stuff like that. But at its core, like in Christianity, we're called as individuals to be part of a kingdom, to be part of a people. True Christianity is communal by nature. So I think personally, yeah, for sure. It's been affected by community. And I feel like that's kind of the natural progression of it.
Yeah.
I mean, both like in some good ways, previously, like in some not as beneficial ways. And that's part of kind of belonging to the people of God, of understanding that though we are redeemed by Christ and called to be part of God's kingdom, we are still a community of flawed human beings. So while we try to exemplify that community in Christ, it's not always done perfectly. Which I mean is opportunity for growth in the kingdom, man. And I think in my own life, especially now being at Redeemer, man, the community that I'm in challenges me towards growth a lot. Really unlike I'd ever been challenged before. One thing I'm immensely grateful for here is that, you know, like I think back to whenever I was 19 and started first coming to Redeemer and to the college group anyways, and was super aimless. Like had professed faith, was a Christian, but just did not have a directional sense for my faith. And Mac welcomed me like with open arms. The whole community welcomed me with open arms, and they loved me well where I was at, but they also loved me enough to refuse to let me stay there. And it was that community that challenged me to actually grow in my faith, that gave me the resources to grow in my faith. And yeah, dude, like that honestly has to exist.
Absolutely.
Across the board in the people of God, whatever local body that you're partaking in, that community should be challenging you to grow.
That's good.
That was long-winded.
No, that's good, man.
I loved it. That was awesome.
You have anything to add, Ty?
I mean, to be honest, not to that. I mean, you just really just said everything.
You did.
That was awesome. I do think... and can you ask your question one more time? Just to make sure I'm answering it correctly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How have you seen community affect your own testimony?
Oh, okay. I mean, I love everything Joshy said, but also for me, transitioning and also living above or living beyond the stereotype, and this is more personal, but living beyond the stereotype as an African-American male and being married, is what kind of formed me. And then not only that, but then stepping into a church where I'm not most comfortable. And I had to kind of embrace those people that I may not be the most familiar with. And that was Trinity Fellowship. I mean, I'm not going to give specifics, but like overall, like that, it's good to have that community because I mean, they tested me in a good way. They pushed me. They taught me things. And I think community is needed in order to sustain your walk with Christ. As much as we get so prideful and say, all I got is me, all I need is me, at the end of the day, we need community.
We
need brothers that's going to equip us and even your brothers and sisters in Christ. But I mean, because we're talking to men and women for the audience, but like whatever that looks like, you need community. And I think it's really valuable. And how you find that, which we'll talk about later, is even the more question I'm excited about, because it's like, it is hard to find community, but what do I look for? How do I step into that? How do I embrace and actually welcome people in while while also, again, exemplifying what the Bible says and going according to the word?
Good.
Yes, sir.
Man, that's good. That's good. Dang. And Mark, you got anything?
Oh, no, I think they said literally everything. They covered everything. One thing to add, I think, like, just to kind of, like, you know, so that we can transition to, like, whatever your question is going to be, to emphasize, like, community is emphasizing the Christian faith because we are made to bear God's image, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And God in himself, before he created us, he is in perfect relationship with himself, the triune God.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
And so for us to mirror God's image, we have to reflect that community, that relational. We are made to be in community. We are made to be in relationship.
Yes.
So for us to be Christians is to be in community, to be amongst the corporate. Mm-hmm. Like if you notice in scriptures, like God always calls his people to be in corporate worship, right? Whether that's in the Old Testament for them to, like, you know, tabernacle with God and then like the birth of the early church, you know, it's all about community. And so I think, like, if you say that I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to go to church, or I'm a Christian, so I'm just going to be a lone wolf Christian. It's like, there's no such thing.
No.
Because the enemy will attack you by yourself.
Isolation.
Right? One thing that I don't know if Joshua will agree with this, but one thing I observed is that the only time, I would say, from what we know, the only time that Jesus was tempted or attacked by Satan was when he was in the wilderness by himself.
Oh, yeah.
So I would say, like, if you're alone, there's a high percent chance that that's when the enemy might attack you. That's why community is very important, because number one, they help you, you know, with your walk with Christ. And another thing is that they point you to the cross.
Mm.
You need that. You need people that will remind you of the gospel, that will constantly point you to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes our tendency is to forget about the gospel. And we need those people alongside us that will remind us and will constantly, like, hey, don't forget about the hope that we get to have in Christ. And I think that's the benefit of the church and the community. So, but yeah.
I want to reflect back on what you were saying about reflection, that, like, you know, to be a Christian is to be reflection of Christ, and we have to exemplify that in our own individual lives. But really, our community is a reflection on that,
mm-hmm,
you know, yeah. and you know, going back to, like, how Jesus was when he was here on earth, like you said, mm-hmm, like the devil attacked him when he was alone, you know, and he was, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he came back, he was angry at the disciples because they were asleep and they were lazy in the job. They weren't praying for him. And I think Jesus had this, the amount of understanding that he, obviously, I mean, it's eternal. I mean, it's godlike. I mean, it's incomparable to what we can even understand, mm-hmm, but it's so weird of how Jesus, he knew he was fully God, but he knew he was fully man. So he knew the knowledge of his Father, knew the power that he had, but he also knew, because he was on here on earth, of what he, the things that he needed here on earth too, which was the prayer of his brothers, mm-hmm, you know? And so, I don't know.
Yeah. And I also, like, think that, being in a desolate place by yourself is a bad thing. Like, Jesus was also, you know, like,
it happens.
It says, like, you know, he went to desolate places to spend time with the Father. So don't think, like, oh yeah, like, no. you just don't spend time by yourself. But I'm saying, like, community is one of the important things in Christianity. And don't say that I'm just going to be by myself, because there's no such thing.
Oh,
no, keep going.
Oh, no, I was going to say just real quick, I think we always think, like, there needs to be extremity of, like, I'm pursuing God alone or I'm pursuing God with people. And, like, it's both. It's, it's intertwined in that, but.
Yeah. There's always wisdom and discernment and, like, understanding that emphasis on one aspect of the faith does not mean you ought to be inclined to neglect another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, today, like, as far as topic goes, like, we're talking about community and the importance of it. That does not negate the importance of having time to dive deep into your personal relationship with God.
Yeah. Yep.
That's something that you get to share in community with, and that's also something very personal and intimate that you get to partake in.
That's true.
So, yeah. Again, that's for good. The listeners, like, today's emphasis does not negate the importance of, like, personal time of, like, pouring into your faith.
Yeah.
That's good. It's good.
This is just the topic.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say?
Not really. Well, and I would say also, like, you know, ultimately it's just as simple of, like, if we're going to pour out and share the gospel and preach, we also have to pour into ourselves.
That's good.
And I think sometimes in the Christian mindset, in the Christian world, we get fixed up in this, I'm doing what Jesus called me to do. I'm going to go preach to everyone that I can and go do this and have my community. And those are my people. I invest all my time in them. But it's like, you know, what are you doing to also prioritize your relationship with Christ? Because that comes first.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're able to have your community and you pour out. And y'all have y'all's, you know, and it looks different for everybody.
Yeah.
But I love what you said of, like, you still have to prioritize that individual of, like, you and God, that alone time, because it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as valuable as having community as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
All
right, Joe.
Man, dude. All right. Well, next question. Okay. So we kind of talked about community, what it is, importance of it, effect of our own lives. What are some things? But I kind of want to get into the bad for the good and like the realness of the community and stuff. And so
we're opening some wounds.
We're gonna tear open. No.
Sorry.
I couldn't be a doctor. I'd be just
not the terrible wounds.
Like, all right, this is what we're gonna do straight up. So what do y'all think? Like, and Josh, if you want to go first, you know, what do y'all think are some things in general that we can be working on in the community that's kind of lacking? Like, maybe some first things that come to mind.
Dude, right off the bat, vulnerability.
Good. Good, man.
Absolutely. One of the weird things about, I don't know if it's strictly like Christianity in the West, or if it's just part of being a human, we're scared to admit that we're flawed.
Oh yeah,
we're scared to admit that we're underperforming, or that we don't have it all together, which is stupid because nobody does. Yeah. Like, we're all silently aware of our own imperfections, yet we refuse to share them with the people that can actually aid us in them.
Oh yeah.
Because I mean, especially like we said, talking about the personal time, like the one-on-one time in our faith, we act as if we can do it on our own, as if faith is something that's individualistic, and that if we're not capable of performing the the natural outpour of our faith in our home lives, in our community, in our roles as friends and husbands and fathers and workers, that, like, you know, if we're not capable of doing that, then we're not really a Christian. But it's like, dude, the whole point of Christianity is that you're not able to do that.
Yeah.
There's no need for a savior if you were able to do it on your own. Yet we're so scared to be vulnerable in community, to admit that we fail. But it's like, when we fail into grace.
That's good.
We fail falling, collapsing into the arms of a savior who is sufficient for us. And that's the point of the community, man. Is to bear each other's burdens, to point each other towards the gospel, towards Christ, like Mark was saying. So, man, like, if we're not willing to be vulnerable, like, we're leaving a incredible resource untapped.
Yeah, that's good.
Do you think it's a responsibility of, like, the people leading community to be vulnerable, or vice versa, or the people who are, like, coming into community?
Both and.
Yeah.
Both and, for sure, man. I do believe that, like, leading by example is very necessary and important. Setting that precedent, especially in authority and, like, leadership positions, of, like, you know, we're aware of our own vulnerabilities and we're aware of the things that we lack. You know, having that precedent set by a leader kind of makes it a safe place for others to realize, like, okay, I'm allowed to be broken here. I think it's a good starting point. I don't think it should be solely dependent upon leaders to be vulnerable and just let the community gather around them. You know, that ought to be kind of a spark, I would say, to invite the rest of the community to follow in suit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's corporate, you know, it's a brotherhood. Those who are in positions of authority, or are in positions of leadership, you know, they're in so because God has given them the gifts and the means by which to lead well.
That's good.
It's not a matter of dignity, value, or any kind of one-ups in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
That's just the role that they've been equipped to serve in. And they're just as called to lean into community and to admit their vulnerabilities and rely on the communion of the saints the same way that all those that are sitting under the teaching are.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to add to real quick on James 5:16, ESV. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. But just to add to your saying on, like, that vulnerability of, like, we're meant to confess what's going on one another, man. But you guys got anything?
I just have a question for you, Joshy.
Yeah.
So, like, I know a lot of people that has talked to me. A lot of them are wanting to embrace community and actually mm-hmm. like find that. But some of them are just scared of the authority. Mm-hmm. They're scared yeah. of, I guess, just
like getting
being
hurt.
Judged or being hurt. So yeah. what would you say to the audience and just people in general, people that are scared to actually embrace community and just also that authority, which you talked about, because that's a really fair point you made. Not fair, but good point you made. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, contextually, like, there is an aspect of wisdom and discernment that's necessary in this. Mm. You know, it's, I don't know, like, it is natural for us to shield ourselves from vulnerability. A lot of times as like the fight or flight of, because we've been hurt, because we've been vulnerable with people mm-hmm. that have hurt us or have used those vulnerabilities against us or to manipulate us. That'll incline us to say, well, you know, I'm not going to share this again because I'm not going to get hurt again. Mm-hmm. And that's real. You know, that's a valid concern. Mm-hmm. And the context of this is in godly, gospel-centered community where grace is abundant and the gospel is the focal point of all of it. Like, this is a component of community that is going to point you to Christ, which the authority and the leadership ought to be doing. If the leadership and the authority does not hold the gospel at the center mm-hmm. of community— it is well within your right to question if this is really where you ought to be submitting yourself.
Yeah, right. Fully agree.
Like, in fact, like, you know, scripture speaks of holding our leaders to a higher standard, them being above reproach in their character and their actions. Hmm. Those are the characteristics that should be present in the leaders. And it's okay to voice those concerns, you know, whether it's privately, like mm-hmm. to that individual of like, look, I want to tell you things, but I'm really, really scared you're going to judge me. That's okay. Or, I don't know, or to even go and like text somebody, call somebody that you do trust already, mm-hmm. That isn't necessarily a leader or any kind of authority figure, in the communal aspect. Mm-hmm. Like it's not solely like a vertical relationship of like you and an authority. Mm-hmm. It's also very like horizontal with mm-hmm. with the people that are sitting under the same authority. Yeah, because I mean I agree with the premise that you're saying that like it's scary. And the reason it's scary is because most of us have been hurt yep. mm-hmm. by someone who was not gracious yeah. In our shortcomings. But yeah, find somebody.
That's good.
You can find mm-hmm. I don't know. Find me, email the podcast email. Email the podcast email. We'll get in contact.
Yeah.
We'll get coffee or something.
Yeah. Yes,
I've done dumber things than you have, listener. Let's talk about it.
Yep.
That's a good question. Sorry. Because like I have also a friend, and I asked her, like, hey, like, have you been to church? And she was like, no. And I was like, why? And she said that she's been hurt by the church because she was just because she likes these certain things, such as like, oh, I love reading these books. I love reading Harry Potter and just being judged, you know, by, I don't know what your convictions about Harry Potter is, but she's like, I don't like being condemned just because I like literature or like this certain type of storytelling. And mm-hmm. she felt isolated. She felt outcasted. Mm-hmm. And that's why she stopped going to church. Because of that, because she doesn't feel like she belongs. She doesn't feel like she's loved or had that, you know, that the gospel wasn't the focal point of the church. Because if the gospel is the focal point of the church, you will do basically, and have like, you know, I mean, in your Christian strength to show to them, not just to tell them about the gospel, but to display the gospel with your actions and with your life.
Yes.
And yeah. by how you show that is by means of being gracious, seeing them like kind of like going down to their level and kind of like asking like, hey, what's going on? And, you know, being open to them about like providing a safe environment for them. Or like what we are just talking right now, like providing a safe environment where like there can be vulnerable mm-hmm. without being condemned and judged for their brokenness. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that we as a church, I think we're slowly learning. Yeah,
we're learning,
I think,
for sure.
to like how to cultivate that kind of environment. But for people that have been hurt by the church, like it's hard for them to move on from their previous experiences. Mm-hmm. So like what Joshua was saying is like maybe opening up to someone or talking to someone that you really trust, who you know is rooted in the gospel, mm-hmm. that loves Jesus, yep. and is aware of their brokenness, open up to them. Like, mm-hmm. hey, I have something to confess. Because mm-hmm. funny enough, like we had a youth retreat, and we were talking about how to pray, and one of the lessons there is about confession. And sometimes we think that confession is just like you know, confessing your sin to God. But also part of that is like also you confessing is confessing to your brothers and sisters. And it's not something that you do for them or you do for God. Confession is something that you do for yourself, because it's the acknowledgement of who you are as a person. And it's and the other side of that coin is that it's the a reminder of who you are in Christ. If you're talking to God, when you confess your sin, you know, it's acknowledging that, hey, I am a sinner, but in return, you get Christ's like love and grace and mercy through the gospel. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with community. When you confess your sin, you're acknowledging, hey, this is who I am. This is my brokenness. And in return, you get, hey, this is what Christ has said over you. Don't forget that.
That's good. So, yeah, that's real good.
But I don't know. I just kind of want to go off on what you said, because, I mean, church hurt is real, man. We've been hurt.
I've been through it. So that's why I asked the question, because it, and honestly, like, you know, a lot of the times you think you're over your church hurt, you're not. It can take one little thing to just like poke at that, and it brings it right. So it's just like finding that person to really help you get down to the root of what it is, and help you process through that. And that's where community comes in. If you have that one, not one person, but have those people,
that's good.
That body that can, not, I want to say call you out, but that can help you get to the root of why you feel the way you feel. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. Because I mean, we're human. So the way we feel could also be something we're just making up in our heads.
Yeah.
But it could also be part of it church hurt, and then part of it of like, okay, we need to die down to this area. But then on this side of it, that was not a right thing to do. But because the church is not perfect, we are to forgive and also meet that person where they are as well. So it's just a really big thing in general, not just Amarillo, but I think everywhere church hurt is not talked about enough, and how to deal with it.
Yeah. No,
having that community.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, and just to be clear on that, like, yeah, church hurt is a very real thing. And man, like, good gospel-centered confession and like accountability, calls to repentance, is a grace-filled conversation. Right. It is a conversation that calls you in love to repent of the sin that is damaging to you.
Yeah.
Like, that is lying to you about the life that it'll give when all it leads to is death. It is a call for you to return to the first love.
Amen.
To return to your Savior, to your Father with open arms, or who has his arms open to you. And man, like, if the confession or the accountability that someone is attempting to call you to is nothing but condemning, brother, no. No, that is not the purpose of confession and accountability for those who are in Christ. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation for you.
Yeah.
Because the penalty of the sins that you have committed and you are committed and are committing has already been placed upon Christ and paid for and defeated in Christ. That repentance is an act of loving obedience to the God who has redeemed you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Dang. That's good. That's good. No, I think that's a perfect reminder, because there's like, I'm hoping, like, after people listen to this, they're like, oh, I'm going to go, you know, get involved in community. And then there are probably going to be some people, if they do, that they're going to be hit with that, just that condemnation, stuff like that. And it's like, no, that is not of God, you know? And I think we've all been hit at that by at one point or another. And I think too, like, what's really can be really bad about, like, the Bible Belt, like the in the South in general, is like there's this heavy like passive aggressiveness they can come across like in church. It's like they're being judgmental to you, but they're doing it like in a super nice way. It's really undertone, you know, and it's like oh crud. But no, man, that's I don't know. It's wild.
Yes.
Yeah. And like, even if something that may not be sinful, but other people are attempting to condemn you for, talking about like Southern culture, like, you know, tattoos, man.
Dude, yep.
I got a couple tattoos. Yep. I know some people that have said I'm going to hell because I have tattoos.
Well, guess what?
Even if I am wrong about my stance on tattoos and I did commit a sin by getting tattoos, Christ paid for that too.
Let's go.
So, you know, praise be to my Savior.
That's right.
And for God being loving enough to forgive me for things that I wasn't even aware were condemning me.
Exactly. Yeah.
Those tats will get you to hell.
Guess what? This body's going to go to dust anyways.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
I'm getting a new one, buddy.
Glorified body, baby.
I'm getting a new one.
What do y'all... So, okay, that's actually good. So, like, one of the other things I was going to ask is, like, what do y'all think are some, like... You know, generations change. You know, they're the older generations. They would have, like, if you showed up in church with a tattoo or anything like that, you would have just, you know, you wouldn't have been allowed, you know. And, or, you know, there's Jesus Revolution, right? Have y'all seen Jesus Revolution? Yeah. Like, where, you know, they produce, oh, dude.
Haven't seen it.
I'm not, like, you know how it is. Like, just Christian movies aren't always, like, they can be super cheesy. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just.
I just don't go to the movies that much, man.
Like, I'm hermit. So Jesus Revolution portrays it was the Jesus Revolution that was happening like 60s, 70s during really the hippie era and stuff like that. And so they really portrayed like how like hippies were coming into church and incorporated. Well, this was like the older generations of the church really didn't like this. A lot of it was to just more how they looked, how they carried themselves, stuff like that. It wasn't even what they were doing. It was just physically just who they were. Mm-hmm. You know, and they kind of, there was this really interesting church change where they were learning to accept people for who they were, but staying true to like, to the Bible and like what it is. Mm-hmm. What are some things we're not old now, but we're in our mid getting to mid 20s.
We're on our way.
Almost halfway to 30.
Once you cross that 25 threshold, you're like, you're done.
That's it. Yep. You're expired.
Thank you, Mark.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry, man. I take back what I said. No, you're seasoned. You're not old.
Seasoned. That's worse. We're young, man. That's what we are.
Seasoned. I don't know. That's kind of worse to me because
that's not like you're seasoned. It means you better. You're seasoned, right?
But then,
like a good cast iron.
Yes. Okay. Anyways.
But you know, we're at an age now where we're 6 years. Well, I'm 24, so I'm about 6 years older, you know, than someone who's 18. Somebody who's coming into, you know, freshly out of high school, coming to college, right? Mm-hmm. So we're old enough now to start seeing like, all right, what's the younger generation who are in high school coming into adulthood? Like, what are they dealing with? Stuff like that. What are, you know? I know you said stop it. I know you serve.
Hold on, I'm thinking about this.
Oh no, you're good. I know you serve. You know, some youth, I have too. I'm sure y'all have too, different experiences. What are some things? Are there some things that
are there
some things that y'all are seeing that the next generation is in need of that we need to be sensitive to, that the older generation likewise was sensitive to us when we were getting older and the community was accepting us, if that makes sense?
Yes. My thing is the stuff they need to work on and stuff we're still struggling with.
Yep. Mm.
So it's just like for me, it's we kind of talked about it earlier. It's humility and what loving a person actually looks like when you have community. Yep. As humans, we're so prone to just like cater.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad thing. You meet someone where they are, but you also display the truth, which is the word of God. And that's what love looks like.
That's good.
Love is not accepting. And if we're going to be honest, let's just be honest. It's not accepting, you know, things that we know is wrong. But it's, yes, loving that person. But if they were to ask you, like, I've been put in a spot where I've been asked of, like, you know, what do you feel about this with someone that I was close with? And I have to be the one to say, I don't agree with that. I don't think it's right. But do I still love you? Yes, I do. And that's what loving the person is. But I think for the young people and for us today, our generation, we still struggle with that. And we don't want to be upfront. We're so nervous. We always say like how we're so like, you know, we're for Christ. We are running after Jesus. We are ready for the battlefield. But it's like, are we truly ready? Because when I look at the humility and how people, and I'm guilty of it too. When I look at how people display humility and love with their friends, or like if someone's going through something, it's like they kind of I want to say sugarcoat it, but they kind of like hold back from what they know is true, what needs to be said because the Lord's telling them something. So I think if we're just, I think our generation and, oh yeah, because the young people are a part of our generation, they just need to be bold and actually know who you are, being your word. I mean, that's where you know who your foundation is and where you get your identity. And I just, that's for me, I just noticed that over the past few years growing up is just humility and love has been twisted in so many ways in the Christian world. And it's like, we need to get that back to where it needs to be and the standard.
Yeah, it's good. No, love doesn't mean that you just God accepted us for who we were, but he loved us too much to leave us where we were at, leave us unchanged.
Exactly.
You know, and he's still changing and sanctifying us. And it's a hard balance when you're helping out other people in the community, younger or whatever, where it's like you're seeing them as a child of God, right? You're trying to see them through Jesus' eyes, but you're also finding the right time and moments to be like, all right, dude, like, hey, I know you believe this about yourself, but this isn't who you are. This is what the Bible says about you, you know? But I think, you know, when you come at that stuff with a, not a self-righteous way, but just claiming it as truth, you know, and just saying, no, this is who you are. Let me show you. But yeah, we're,
you have anything, Joshy?
Yeah, man. So it was a question like how to address and help like grow younger people, or like how to interact with them in community, or welcome them into community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man, absolutely. I mean, kind of like the thread we've been talking about, and that side you were leading into a lot of loving people enough to welcome them where they're at, to love them where they're at, but to refuse to let them stay there. Man, cause dude, honestly, a lot of the people, I mean, especially like in younger generations that are in, you know, like middle school, high school now, God, they're not given enough credit for what they're capable of.
Yeah.
Like I firmly believe you're doing a disservice, to a group if you're not teaching to the highest level in the room. Yeah. If you are lowering a bar to cater to where someone is at, you are not going to enable them to grow into anything better than they are. Or to anything more mature than they are. And dude, just, I mean, on a societal level, I feel like we've just gotten stupid comfortable, in lowering the bar to where we can say, okay, now I've lowered my standards enough to where what you're doing is acceptable.
Yep.
And dude, like you are not going to grow from that.
Nope.
Boys will not become men by not being challenged. Girls will not become like strong, godly women if they are not challenged, if they're not given opportunities to perform to a greater capacity than where they're at now. Mm-hmm. Even like a lot of I have several friends that are teachers, that are educators, and dude, just some of the things that they communicate and the way that these kids are being disserviced because no one's giving them opportunities, no one's enabling them to grow and take on hard things and to accomplish hard things. And that's not saying that like we need to like beat down and be like, son, you better pull yourself up and start doing more and just like hound on them until they do, but like invite them into the hard things that you're doing. Yes. Enable them to participate as the people of God in the difficult things that we've been called to as the people of God. I mean, and that's what discipleship is, man. Mm-hmm. It's saying, it's bringing someone alongside you saying, you watch me while I do this.
Yeah.
You help me. Now you help me while I do this. Now I'm going to help you while you do this. And now I'm going to let you do it on your own. Like that's what discipleship looks like.
That's good.
And dude, that is a key and essential part in the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a challenge to believers that are younger than us, that are less mature in our faith. It's also a challenge to us and a responsibility
for us
to be discipling them.
It is a responsibility.
Because, man, like if we let them stay where they're at, that's on us too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
That's on us too, man.
Yes, it is.
But
we're doing them a disservice. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're still, I mean, we're going to be, I don't know how to address this perfectly, but you know, we will be held accountable, you know, when we die for the people that God told us, you know, to help and to save, you know, and there's always that responsibility of like, you know, speaking to the younger generation and mm-hmm. like how you're saying, like not giving enough credit. Cause like, you know, there's always for younger generation, it's like, there's always this heart for wanting to change the world and do crazy things, do good things. That's always good. But then it's like the world gets them before anything else and gets their head and like all these other worldly mm-hmm. things that aren't going to bleed or do, you know, really do anything or make much change. But it's like, if we actually did challenge them in their faith and in the right way, I think mm-hmm. I think we'd be so surprised in the way that they would step up. Mm-hmm. But
it's pretty good. No. I think Josh, you already covered that. He's talking about discipleship, man, I think that's what's lacking.
That's good.
I think in majority of churches is like we heavily so emphasize on like, you know, it's good to think about trying to convert people, but mm-hmm. Don't just kind of like, oh yeah, so you're in Jesus now. Okay, then let's just focus on another non-Christian. Yeah, so it's like, no, like once they get converted, that's just the beginning of their journey.
Yeah,
let's walk with these people. Mm-hmm. So I'm with Josh on that. Yeah. That's so good. And again, that's again going back to communities. Like that's what building community is. It's like participating in discipleship, surrounding yourself with people that will hold you accountable, that will point you to Christ, that will challenge you to grow, not just to leave you where you are at, but actually challenge you and motivate you to, number one, you know, be better. Not just, you know, in life, but also like, is my love in the right places? Am I idolizing something?
Yeah.
Cause you're in a community to point that out. So yeah, I was just kind of like going, like, I would say Joshy really nailed it to the point there. So I really got nothing else.
Man. Okay, so we've kind of talked about, you know, what's work on, bad experiences. We can talk about, we had one episode. Oh dang, okay, cool. I got you. Here, Mike, would you mind put that like in the middle? That's our timer. I that way we can.
It's about time. So
Mark is gatekeeping the timer.
That's on me. I'm like Mark, can you stay on time? And then he's helping me out. I'm like, there's always way too much to do in the day, I feel like.
retweet, brother.
again. I thought we had a little more time. Okay. Anyways, okay, well let's get okay, so like okay, so how can people find community? Would y'all say some things of like maybe personal experiences of like, hey, X, Y, Z, just super, super practical. Mm.
You inhaled.
You inhaled. That's what Tavian's instinct, bro.
You were going to say something. You were getting ready to say
For our generation, I would say we need, oh man, this is, I'm trying to figure out how to word it. Wherever you are, embrace the opportunity to have community. But also, we need to die down to kind of that, like, people need to talk to me thing.
Yeah.
I've learned in our generation, in our age group, it's always like, well, they didn't talk to me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you didn't talk to them. Yo. So it's like you need to get out of your comfort zone. Yeah. Make the step, because this question is honestly, it's easy if you make it easy. It's hard if you make it hard.
Yep.
I don't know that from experiences going to Trinity Fellowship. It was a big church. So when I first went there to North College Ministry, mm-hmm. I was like, they're not talking to me. So I'm going to send the bag. And it's like, God was like,
I remember you calling me that.
God straight called me out. He's like, boy, stop doing that. And I was like, yes, sir.
yes, sir.
But it's like, we need to die down to that of like, you know, no church is going to cater to your needs. Now, don't get me wrong, they should definitely meet the gospel, talk about the gospel, all the stuff you should be being fed. But when it comes to community specifically, we have to embrace that. We have to step into it, and we have a job in that. And
that's good.
We have to not depend on other people, but trust ourselves to find who those people are. So I mean, when you asked that question, that was the first thing that popped up was, there's a word for it. I guess it's your persona. Just die down to your persona, like kind of just step out in faith. And if you do that and you do that with love and kindness and the attributes of Christ, you're going to find community. It's not going to be hard. Because most churches have people that don't mean to be cliquey. It just happens everywhere you go.
Yep.
Talk to them and you will have a great time. You have a great conversation. It'd be a grace-filled conversation about Jesus. And it'll just be a conversation about life, just having humility and talking to people. So just step out in faith and be confident in who you are.
That's
what I would say.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Josh?
Man, I think a fear of rejection leads us to tend to retreat. Mm-hmm. Most of the time to, like, honestly, our phones. You know, I may see someone, you know, sitting a couple spaces away from me in a coffee shop reading a book that, like, the title seems interesting, but I'm like, man, I don't want to bother them. I'm gonna just scroll through Instagram or whatever on my phone while they're like, I mean, like you said, like, get over yourself. or at least try to get over that fear of a rejection or someone ignoring you, to reach out and say, hey man, like, what's that book about? Tell me more about that. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of small group survival studies, whatever, we'll meet in coffee shops or in public places. Like, it's perfectly okay to just ask me, like, hey, what are y'all doing? And, like, honestly, we have a lot of great resources just via the internet. There's a lot of bad ones, too. So, like, vet it out of you know, like, having even stuff like Facebook groups. I don't know if that's more boomer. I'm not on Facebook. But, but, like, you know, of finding local churches, man. Or, like, for college students, you know, there's always, I say always, typically some kind of Christian organization on campus that at the bare minimum will at least connect you to people in local churches. It's hard. It can be hard. And it most definitely will be scary. Because you're putting yourself in a purposely uncomfortable situation of reaching out to a stranger, or attending a group where you're familiar with nobody. There is a level of discomfort with that. But also, like, you have to be willing to push past that discomfort. But there, it's also the challenge to the members of that community. It is a challenge as a people of God to be inviting of the people that choose to come to our churches, our small groups, our homes. And also, like, to be inviting to people to let them know that they are welcome there, even if they're never going to come. Even if you don't think they have any interest in attending your church or small group or coming over for dinner, whatever it is, let them know that, like, they are welcome to, like, to be with you there. Like, I mean, one of the things that that my wife and I are try to be really intentional about is letting everyone that we are in contact with know our home is an available space for them.
That's good.
If they need to talk about something, they're welcome to come talk about something. If their roommate is driving them crazy and they need somewhere to be for, like, a day or two, they are welcome. We will feed you. And, like, you can come over, you can watch TV with us or movie, whatever. You can come pet our dog if you just need some therapy for a little bit. Because, like, that's what it means to be part of a people. And, like, we're called to invite people, to invite others to join us as the people of God. To become part of that community united through Christ. That, dude, you know, like, whenever the Pharisees were telling the kids, like, shut up, Jesus is talking, or, like, or not, I don't know if it was the Pharisees or whoever else.
I think it was the disciples.
Disciples.
Right? Yeah.
My apologies. But then tell them, be like, hey, quiet down. Jesus is talking. And Jesus is like, no, let the kids come to me. Like, be welcoming of those, especially of the ones that other people may see as grievances or annoyances. That is what the gospel does. This gospel reaches down to the worst parts of who we are and says, come to me. Jesus himself, like, you know, ate and sat and talked with tax collectors and prostitutes. And those were the ones that, like, he said, like, he was honest about their sinful dispositions. But also was so incredibly loving towards them, and understanding of the fact that, like, they were broken. And what they needed was not the condemnation that society was already giving them. What they needed was the grace that only the gospel can offer.
Come on.
It's good.
It's good, man.
So, dude, be welcoming to people, man. Just invite them. What they're going to say no at the worst. But at the best, they say yes. And they become part of the people of God.
There you
Come
go.
On, somebody.
Dude. Yeah. It's beautiful.
You hit home with the fear of rejection. I think that just circled all of that up of like, we're all in fear of rejection. Yeah. And even if we don't say we are, like that's what we fear of is fear of rejection. But most of the time, that's not going to happen. Yeah. So I love what you said about that. Just walk up to someone, be part of the people, and embrace who that is, whoever that is, or group that is.
Yeah. And just embrace that uncomfortability. Because if you're just going to stay in your comfort zone your whole life, you're going nowhere.
That's true.
So if you want to take that step of like, yeah, this might be scary, but you know what? I might find friends here. I might find community here.
That's good.
Go step forward, right? That's why we have connect cards. And you know, churches, use that, please. And don't go to once the church service ends, don't go immediately to the door. No. Greet people outside, you know, and
that's a good
get
one.
Planted. Like, just tell them, like, hey, I'm new here. I don't know anybody. They'll help you out get planted. Like, you'll be so surprised how welcoming people are, especially if you go into a gospel centered church. So,
And we live in Amarillo. People here are so welcoming.
Southern hospitality.
Yes.
Because, I mean, also, like, you're facing a discomfort either way. Mm-hmm. All right, you can face the discomfort of solitude and isolation, or you can face the discomfort of starting a conversation with a stranger. Mm-hmm. Both present their own difficulties, but like you have a say in which difficulty you accept.
That's good.
Now, again, that's not to put like all the pressure on the person to be like, well, they didn't talk to me. Like, you know, or of us being like, well, they didn't come on their own. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that goes both ways.
Right.
But. Yeah. You have a say in the discomfort.
Exactly.
Dude, that's good, man.
You have anything, Joe?
No, man. I think that's it. Man, Joshy, dude, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come here, man. And dude, we gotta have you on. I want like just like an eight like person like crazy like eventually when we get the
3 hours,
space,
3 hours, not just an hour. 3 hours.
3 hours. Yes, we'll have enough time. God knows when.
The catch up coalition.
Catch up coalition. We're starting a revolution. Starting an army. That's great. Oh, man.
That's good, man.
Okay. Do you want to lead us in prayer and we can close out?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Dear Heavenly Father God, we thank you, God, for this day. We thank you, God, that you just gave us the opportunity to catch up, God, and talk about you and talk about how you made us to be in relationship with one another, Lord. And we pray that you bless those people, God, who needs to hear this, God. Those who are lonely, those who are feel isolated, those who feel attacked, God, in isolation. God, we just pray that this conversation bless them and that you move them, God, towards community that will point them to the cross, that will point them to you, Lord, and that will help them and strengthen their faith in you. We pray, God, that you remind those of those people that of who they are in Christ, and that there's going to be people out there that's going to love them, God, and going to steward the gospel well, and that church will cherish their nature as someone who's made in the image of God. And we just thankful, Lord, that we get to have this opportunity just to get together and just talk about you. And we just lift this all up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Dude, yes. Joshy, thank you again. And
thanks. Awesome.
Dude, of course.
Joshy, thank you for being here.
Yes.
Citavian, you're Citavian. Awesome, bro.
Oh, y'all are too. Thank y'all. And we love the audience, too.
I love you. We
love you so much.
But yeah, and Michael. We'll see you next week.
Yep. We'll see you next week.
Michael.
Yeah, do close out?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. So I'll go around the bend, and then I'll say I keep on messing up the exit like outro so many times. Okay. So I'm one of your co-hosts, Joseph. Joined by Mark again, Citavian. Our guest today, Joshy, and our production manager in the back, Christian. Thank you all for listening to Catch Up Podcast. If you have any suggestions, corrections, suggestions? Dang, I'm gonna get this one time. Suggestions, questions. Or correction, you can reach us at
catchuppodcast2023@gmail.com.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening to Catch Up Podcast. We will talk to y'all later.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
's for catching up with us on the Catch Up Podcast. If you enjoyed our God-centered conversations, share the love by sharing this on your social media or leave a review. Don't forget to tune in next week for more uplifting chats. Until next time, we will catch you on the next episode of the Catch Up Podcast.